Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechas Erevin, Daf Peches. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, regarding permitting drawing water from a balcony with hanging mechitzos, Rabbi Rav Huna said, Oshanu elul malos, avalishboch aser. They only taught that drawing water is permitted, but pouring out sewage through a hole is prohibited. Rashi explains that the flowing river will take the sewage beyond the mechitzos of the balcony. Rav Shizbi challenged this ruling and asked, what is the difference between this case and the case of a cesspool in a chatzar into which water may be poured even when it's full and it will run off into a neighboring rishus or rabbi? The Gemara answered that hanitame, these waters of the cesspool cease, meaning they generally become absorbed in the ground before flowing into the rishus or rabbi. Rashi explains that even if the sewage does overflow and run out of the chatzar, it was a person's intention that they be absorbed in their place and the transfer to rishus or rabbi is unintended. Bahani lotami. However, these waters on the balcony do not cease, meaning they're never absorbed in their place. Therefore, the person knows that they will certainly flow beyond the mechitzos. The Gemara presents another version of this discussion. Point number two, Rava said in the name of Rechia, and Rav Yosef said in the name of Oshia, Yesh gazel b'Shabbos. There is figuratively theft of another person's property on Shabbos, the churba machzir l'baim, and a ruin restores possession to its owner on Shabbos. This refers to a case where someone makes use of a neighbor's ruined property that is next to his property during the week without the owner's express consent. Rashi explains that his unauthorized use of the ruin does not have any bearing on his Erev status. The dominion over the churba is forcibly returned to its owner, requiring an Erev. The thief, regarding to the neighbor, may not carry there without joining in an Erev with the owner. And point number three, the next Mishnah stated, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Bi'ipshu kamur arba amos b'rishus harabim, if a drainage conduit from a chatzar through the rishus harabim is covered for its first four amos in the rishus harabim, people may pour wastewater into it on Shabbos. Rashi explains that the covered portion must be 4x4 amos in area, which is capable of absorbing 2 saw of water that a person uses daily. Therefore, the water poured into it on Shabbos will generally be absorbed before it reaches the rishus harabim. Even if the water does reach rishus harabim, it is considered an unintended transfer and he has not transgressed a deraisa. The Chachamim hold that one may not pour directly into a conduit even if it's very long, since it exits with some intensity. Rashi explains that he might be accused of intending to get rid of it from his chatzar. They do permit pouring into it onto the roof and letting the water descend into the conduit, where the water will not leave with such intensity. The Gemara notes that the Chachamim do not reflect the opinion of Chananya, who holds that one may not pour onto a roof that is even 100 amos long, because a roof is not constructed to absorb, but rather to cause the water to flow away from the house. Therefore, he considers it the same as pouring it directly into the conduit. So once again, the three points are number one, regarding permitting drawing water from a balcony with hanging mechitzos, Rabbi Rav Huna said, Oshanu elul malos avalishbo chaser. They only taught that drawing water is permitted, but pouring out sewage through a hole is prohibited. Rashi explains that the flowing river will take the sewage beyond the mechitzos of the balcony. Rav Shizbi challenged this ruling and asked, what's the difference between this case and the case of a cesspool in a chatzar into which water may be poured even when it's full and it will run off into a neighboring rishus harabim? The Gemara answered, hanitame, these waters of the cesspool cease, meaning they generally become absorbed in the ground before flowing into the rishus harabim. Rashi explains that even if the sewage does overflow and run out of the chatzar, it was the person's intention that they be absorbed in their place and the transfer to rishus harabim is unintended. Bahani lotami. However, these waters from the balcony do not cease, meaning they're never absorbed in their place. Therefore, the person knows that they will certainly flow beyond the mechitzos. The Gemara presents another version of this discussion. Point number two, Rava said in the name of Rechia, and Rav Yosef said in the name of Yoshia, Yesh gazel b'Shabbos. There is figuratively theft of another person's property on Shabbos. The churba machzir l'baim, and a ruin restores possession to its owner on Shabbos. This refers to a case where someone makes use of a neighbor's ruined property that is next to his property during the week without the owner's express consent. Rashi explains that his unauthorized use of the ruin does not have any bearing on its Erev status. The dominion over the churba is forcibly returned to its owner requiring an Erev. The thief, returned to the neighbor, may not carry there without joining in an Erev with the owner. And point number three, the next Mishnah stated, Rabbi Yazir ben Yaakov says, B'ivshu kamur arba amos b'rishus harabim. If a drainage conduit from a chatzar through the rishus harabim is covered for its first 4 amos in the rishus harabim, people may pour wastewater into it on Shabbos. Rashi explains that the covered portion must be 4x4 amos in area, which is capable of absorbing 2 saw of water that a person uses daily. Therefore, the water poured into it on Shabbos will generally be absorbed before it reaches the rishus harabim. even if the water does reach where she's rubbing, it's considered an unintended transfer and he is not transgress a deraisa. The Chachamim hold that one may not pour directly into a conduit, even if it's very long, since it exits with some intensity. Rashi explains that he might be accused of intending to get rid of it from his chatzer. They do permit pouring it onto the roof and letting the water descend into the conduit where the water will not leave with such intensity. The Gemara notes that the Chachamim do not reflect the opinion of Hananya, who holds that one may not pour onto a roof that is even 100 amas long, because a roof is not constructed to absorb, but rather to cause the water to flow away from the house. Therefore, he considers it the same as pouring it directly into the conduit. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Pei Ches, and the simon is a pach, a garbage can. So here goes. The person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can through his balcony into the water below accidentally dumped it on a thief using his neighbor's ruin, who also got splashed by another neighbor pouring his water out with great intensity into a covered drainage pipe. Once again, in slow motion. The person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can, that must be on Daf Pei Ches. The person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can through his balcony into the water below, which reminds the Rabbi Baruch Huna said that while it's permitted to draw water from the balcony with hanging mechitzas, it's prohibited to pour out sewage into the water since it will flow beyond the mechitzas. This isn't similar to the case of throwing water into a cesspool, which might be full and result in going out to Rishas Rabim, since generally the water gets absorbed in the ground before it gets there, and if it did get to Rishas Rabim, it was not intended. So the person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can through his balcony into the water below actually dumped it on a thief using his neighbor's ruin, which reminds us that a person who makes use of his neighbor's ruin during the week does not have rights to use it on Shabbos unless he makes a joint erev with the owner. So the person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can through his balcony into the water below accidentally dumped it on a thief using his neighbor's ruin, who also got splashed by another neighbor pouring his water out with great intensity into a covered drainage pipe. Which reminds us that Samochus Rabbi Yazar ben Yaakov in the Chumim, whether it's permitted to pour water through a drainage conduit from his chatzer into the Rishus of Rabbim if the conduit is covered over an area of 4x4 amas, which is capable of absorbing the amount of water someone uses daily. There's an additional Malchokas if it's permitted to pour water out on the roof if it's going to end up in the drainage pipe. So once again, the person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can through his balcony into the water below actually dumped it on a thief using his neighbor's ruin, who also got splashed by another neighbor pouring his water out with great intensity into a covered drainage pipe. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazora. Daf Pei Dalet. So the simon Pei Dalet is a launch pad. So here goes. The residents who lived on the same level as the Merpesis use it as a launch pad. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Dalet. The residents who lived on the same level as the Merpesis use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, which reminds us. The Daf continues with Malchus being Rav Shmuel, whether Shilshul lowering down is considered easier than Zerika, throwing something up, or not, in terms of determining who has rights to use a given area. The Gemara attempts to bring a support to Shmuel that lowering down is easier from the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated, Anshei Chatzar v'Anshei Merpeses sheshachav le'irvu. If the residents of a Chatzar and the residents of a Merpeses forgot to make an Erev, kol shegavoa sarat tfachim u'merpeses, pachas mekanu l'chatzar, whichever area is 10 tfachim high above the floor of the Chatzar belongs to the Merpeses, and whichever area is elevated less than this belongs to the Chatzar. This seems to support Shmuel, since the residents of the Merpeses actually live in an upper story and make use of the Merpeses by lowering things to it. The Gemara defends Rav by saying that just as the term Merpeses was used in a different case to mean the residents who live on the same level of the Merpeses and not above it, so too here. In that case, the residents of the Merpeses have access to it directly, which is why they can use the area on Shabbos, and those in the chutz that require throwing up to it cannot. So the residents who lived on the same level as the Merpeses use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, as neighbors below standing on a ledge sticking out from the 19th Tefach wall, which reminds us, the Gemara attempts to bring a support to Rav from a brisa that states, Anshei Chatzar v'Anshei Aliyah, Sheshachav le'irvu. If the residents of a Chatzar and the residents of a second story forgot to make an Erev, the residents of the Chatzar may make use of a ledge that protrudes from the wall if it's below 10 Tfachim, and the residents in the upper story may make use of the ledge if it's above 10 Tfachim. This implies that if the ledge were in the middle and 10 Tfachim away from both, it would be restricted from use since it's equally accessible to both. Rav Nachman answered, here in the Brice, we're discussing a 19 tefach high wall from which a ledge projects. If the ledge is below 10 tefachim from ground level, it's accessible to the chatzar as a pesach, which makes it exclusively theirs. If it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, it's accessible to the residents of the upper story as a pesach, making it exclusively theirs. So the residents who lived on the same level as the Merpeses use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, as neighbors below standing on a ledge sticking out from the 19 tefach wall and the ones above who drew water in case a fire broke out all eagerly watch. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a support for Rav's position from a Mishnah on Daf Pei Zainam and Beis. It states, Shtei Kezusro Zo Lomo Mizo, two balconies, where one is higher than the other, and the upper balcony has the Mechitza Tluya, a 4x4 Tavachol with a 10 Tavach partition coming down from it in order to draw water from below. The Gemara later explains that this partition was built in partnership with the residents of the lower balcony, so that they will have Drisa Zaregel, the right of passage, to use the upper balcony to draw water. Therefore, neither balcony can use the hole without an Erev. Since the upper balcony uses the hole with Shoshal, and the lower balcony uses it with Zrika and with Shoshal, and the Brisa considers them equals, this seems to support Rav's position. The Gemara answers that the cases where the residents of the lower balcony go up via steps to the upper balcony to get water, which means they also use it only with Shoshal, and even Shmuel agrees it's forbidden for both. Abaya gives a second answer. Daf Pehe, so the symbol for Daf Pehe is a peh, a mouth. We use a dentist. So here goes. The neighborhood dentist. Dentist? That must mean we're on Daf Pehe. The neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water, which reminds us, reviewed a set in the name of Shmuel. Bor sheben shtei chatzeros mufleges mekosel zerba, mekosel zerba. Regarding a water pit between two chatzeros, if the edge of the pit is four tefachim away from each wall, each chassan can put out a slat of any size from its wall and then fill their pails with water. Rav Yehuda himself, however, holds afil kanya, even something less notable than a slat, like a reed, can be used. Rashi explains that since the pit is in a path that is separated from both chatzeros by a wall, giving them no direct access to it, it doesn't require an Erev. Putting out a slat or reed to permit drawing water from it on Shabbos is to serve as a reminder that access to a jointly owned area is usually only permitted with an Erev. Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Rav would not require any reminder. For Rav said, Ein adam oso al chavero derech avir. A person cannot restrict his fellow in an area only used by him by way of air. In this case, the residents do not have access to the pit by foot, but must draw the water by way of throwing. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chetzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chetzer as they were walking through the gatehouse, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Anosin se ruva beishar aksadru mirpesas eno erev. If one places his erev in a gatehouse, a portico, or a gallery, it's not a valid erev. V'hadar sham eno osro lav. And one who lives in one of these does not restrict the other residents in the chetzer from caring. And eruv chetzeros must be deposited in one of the dwellings of the chetzer, symbolizing the designation of that house as the common dwelling of all residents in the chetzer. The Mir explains that the portico and the gallery are not considered dwellings because they don't have walls, and that the gatehouse is not considered a dwelling since residents in the chetzer are constantly passing through it. Rashi explains that someone living in any of the above places doesn't restrict use of the chetzer and does not need to contribute to the Erev. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chetzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chetzer as they were walking through the gatehouse to join them for a late Erev Shabbos get-together meal. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, B'nei chabura sheyem musubin, a group of neighbors who were eating a meal before Shabbos began, which Rashi clarifies to mean all of the neighbors of a chetzer or a mavui, v'kidesh alein hayom, and Shabbos came while they were sitting there, without having joined in an Erev Shitav, pashal al shulchan somchin alein mishum Erev. They may rely on the bread that's on the table for an Erev. And others say that they may rely on it for a Shitav. Tosos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis explains that since the hosts serve them bread to eat, it's as though it's theirs and it's therefore a valid contribution to the Erev. Rabbi said there's no dispute between these two rulings. One was referring to when they were eating in the house and the other one was referring to they were eating in the Chatzar. Daf Pei Vav. So the Simmer Daf Pei Vav is police. Police. Here goes. The police. Police. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Vav. The police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, which reminds the Gemara relates, Rebbe Mekabed Asherim, Rebbe Kiva Mekabed Asherim. Both Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva would show respect to wealthy people. As Rabbi Barmari expounded from the verse, Yeshav Olam Lifnei Elokim, Ches Ve'emes, Manyin Saruhu, may he, referring to a king, sit forever before Hashem, appoint kindness and truth that they preserve him. Emasai Yeshav Olam Lifnei Elokim, when is the world properly settled before Hashem? When there are kindness and ample provisions for the poor, this preserves the world. Rashi explains that the word man means provisions, since the rich provide for the poor and sustain the world, they deserve kavod. So the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hamaniach beis b'halach lishbos be'ir acher, one who left his house and went to spend Shabbos in another town. Rav Meir says whether he's a Nachri that did not rent out his rights or a Jew who didn't join in the Erev, he restricts use of the Chatzar. Rashi explains that Rav Meir holds, Dira b'lo balim shma dira. A residence without owners present on Shabbos is considered residence. Rabbi Yehuda says he does not restrict since he holds Dir Bulabaim Loshma Dira. Rabbi Yossi holds that a Nakri does restrict and a Jew doesn't. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Yehuda except that there is concern that the Nakri will return on Shabbos. It's unlikely, however, that a Jew will return on Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon says that even if the Jew went to spend Shabbos with his daughter in the same town, he is unlikely to return because Shekvar Hisil Malibo. He's already dismissed returning from his mind. Rav said that the Lach is like Rabbi Shimon when he visits his daughter, but not for one who visits his son. Rashi explains that he has in mind that he might need to return home if he gets into a fight with his daughter-in-law. A fight with his son-in-law, however, can be endured. So the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, over the question whether a wall passing over a cistern legally divides the water between them. Which reminds us, in the next mission regarding Borish ben Shtei Chatzeros, a cistern between two Chatzeros, partially in one and partially in the other, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo tehi mechitza gadola min hakosos shebeinehem. A mechitza should not be more effective than the wall which is already between the Chatzeros. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a wall passing over the cistern is sufficient to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity. Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds Mechitza tuya materes afil b'yabasha. A suspended partition permits carrying over dry land, such as in the case of a sukkah wall, that is woven from the top that is 3 tefachim from the ground, where Rabbi Yossi holds it extends downwards and is valid. The Gemara rejects this suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a derabbanan, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as a sukkah. And perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to a sukkah, which is an Isra Aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an Isra Skila. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Pei Zayin is gold, but I did get some pushback. Some people really disliked what we used in Shabbos, which was golden Pez candy dispensers. So if you want, you could just change it to the man panning for cold Pez candy dispensers to make it more consistent with what we did in Shabbos, but I'm going to stick with gold here. Here goes. The man panning for gold, that must mean we're on Daf Pei Zayin. The man panning for gold who cut a square 4x4 tefach hole in the balcony to draw water, which reminds us. It was learned in a brisa that Rabbi Hananya ben Akavia says, Gezus reshesh ba arba amos or arba amos, a balcony which is 4x4 amos in size and extends over water, chokak ba arba or ba umamale. One cuts a square hole of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim in the center of it, and he may then draw water through this opening. Rashi explains that the solid segments that remain on each side of the hole are viewed conceptually as having been bent down, forming a 10 tefach high enclosure below the hole. These partitions are then projected downwards to enclose the surface of the water using the principle of good achis. Rabbi suggested that Rabbi Hananya and Rabbi Yehuda held identical things, since Rabbi Yehuda also held good achis works, such as in the case of a wall over the cistern. Abai said that this is not necessarily so. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds good achis works to extend walls downward, but would not go as far to say that one may conceptually bend the segments of the balcony to form suspended partitions. And perhaps Rabbi Hananya was leaning only with regards to the Sea of Tiberia, because it has high banks, cities, and carpuffs which surround it, but good achis would not work with other bodies of water. So the man panning for gold who cut a square 4x4 tefach hole in his balcony to draw water installed mechitzas at either end of the water canal passing through his chatzer, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Amas ha-mayim shi overes b'chatzer. If a water canal passes through a chatzer, one may not draw water from it on Shabbos unless they erected a mechitza 10 tefachim high within the canal at its entrance to the chatzer and at its exit from it. Rashi explains that although a suspended mechitza is valid over water, it must be evident that the partition was erected for the water. Therefore, the water's mechitza must be within the banks of the canal, and the walls of the chatzer that pass over the canal do not permit it. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kosol shal gaba tido mishum mechitza. The chatzer wall which passes over the canal at each end may be considered a partition. So the man panning for gold who cut a square 4x4 tefach hole in his balcony to draw water installed mechitzas at either end of the water canal, passing through his chatzer, while chomping on fruit he stored in beanstalks, wet with dew. Which reminds us, a brice has brought that teaches 3 lenient rulings issued by Hananya ben Akavia for the people of Tiberia. The first was regarding drawing water from a balcony on Shabbos via the conceptual bending of walls we mentioned before. The second one was Tomnim Ba'atza. He permitted them to store fruit in beanstalks with dew. He held that the people of Tiberia would collect the extra stalks from the crop early in the morning so they wouldn't miss work later in the day, not because they were interested in the stalks being wet with dew. Therefore, the dew is not makshu or kabutuma, and the fruit can be stored in these wet stalks without becoming susceptible to tuma. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which stuff do you learn that the case of 2 balconies with the upper one having a partition to draw water was where the lower balcony took steps up to use it? That was on Duff. pay dollar. Good. Number two, which stuff they go to prison cannot put an Erev in a Beishar, Aksadu, or Mepeses, since they're not dwelling places. That's on Duff. Pehe. Good. Number three, which stuff do we learn while it's permitted to draw water from the balcony with hanging machitzas, it is prohibited to pour sewage out? That's on Duff. Peches. Good. Number four, which stuff do we learn Malchokas if someone who goes away for Shabbos without participating in the Erev restricts the residents of the chatzar from caring? That's on Duff. Pevav. Good. Number five, which stuff do we learn the Rabbi Chanan ben Kavya holds that one can cut a 4x4 tefach hole in a balcony over water, conceptually bend the walls of the balcony to create machitzos? That's on Duff. Pei Zayin. Good. Number six, which stuff do we learn is whether one may pour water into a drainage conduit from a chatzar that is covered for its first four amos in Rishus Rabbin? That's on Duff. Pei Ches. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we learn the wealthy deserve covet because they provide for the poor? That's on Duff. Pei Vav. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we have in Malchokas where Miriam reviewed whether the two meals required to make the Erev are the size of weekday meals or Shabbos meals? That's on Duff. Pei Beis. Good. Number nine, which stuff do we have in the Rabbi Yudah holds that a wall over a cistern legally divides the waters? That's on Duff. Pei Vav. Good. And number ten, which stuff do we have in that if all the residents in a chatzar were eating a meal together and then Shabbos began and they had not made an Erev, the bread they are served can serve as the Erev? That's on Duff. Hey, hey, good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn the meaning of the letters in Emes and Sheker? That's on Duff. Kuf Dalad in the Sechel Shabbos. Good. Number two, which stuff do we learn the Rabban Gamliel holds that Tzar Bali Chaim is a Durabanan? That's on Duff. Kuf Nun Dalad in Shabbos. Good. And number three, which stuff do we have about Kokos whether the dead are aware of what's happening in Olam Hazeh? That's on Duff. Yud Ches and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu. Wishing you a great day and great learning.